Ephesians 5:23, the Bible says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." Let's bow our head for prayer. Father, we thank you again for this day, and thank you for this opportunity we have to be here. And Lord, I pray that each and every one of us have come here today for the right reason, that we've come with hungry hearts and a desire to hear from your word. And Lord, I pray that you would give me exactly what you want me to say. Please put in my mind, in my mouth, my heart, these words, and help me to be able to speak them and say them with clarity. And I pray, Lord, that you would help each one to be attentive and alert and focused on the message. And Lord, help us to take it to heart. And any change that needs to be made, I pray you would help us by your grace to make the change. And Lord, help us when we leave here today to all say that it has been good to be in the house of the Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your love and your mercy. We thank you most of all for dying on the cross for our sins, that we could have eternal life as a free gift. Lord, help us always to seek to please you in all that we do. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As some of you know, I was not here on Father's Day. My wife and I and our son had gone on vacation. So since I wasn't here on Father's Day to address the men, and since on Mother's Day I did address the ladies, and most of all because I believe with all my heart this is what the Lord wants me to do, I'm going to preach today to the men. Now, that doesn't mean, ladies, that you get the day off or that you can ignore everything that's said, but I am going to preach specifically to the men. More specifically, I'm going to preach to the men who are now or who at some point will become husbands. Those are the main ones that I'm going to be preaching to in the message today. The title for the message is very simple, Responsibilities of a Husband. Responsibilities of a Husband. And what I'm going to do, Lord willing, is just point out four major responsibilities the Lord expects from every saved husband. Four responsibilities that the Lord expects from every saved husband. But now, before I go any further into the message, I want to say to those of you who are husbands and those of you who have plans at some point to become husbands, or maybe you don't have any plans at this point. My son tells me all the time he's never going to get married, but I just believe at some point in time in his life he's going to have a little change of heart. Amen. So even if you don't think you are going to become a husband, I believe that you need to pay attention to what is said. And I believe that it should be the desire of every one of us to be the kind of husband that the Lord wants us to be. Not the kind of husband that we think we need to be, and not even the kind of husband that we see most men being today. I'm talking about the kind of husband that the Lord wants us to be. That should be our desire. And I believe that all of us in here, I'm including myself as much as anybody else in the whole place, I believe all of us can stand to make some improvements, to be a little better. Even if you are a good husband, the fact of the matter is you're not a perfect husband. Amen? Because nobody's perfect. So we can all stand to make some improvement, to be better, to strive, to be more like the husband God wants us to be. And I'm going to give you some things today. Some, maybe even all, may simply be reminders of things you already know, but I want you to pay attention to what we're going to look at right here in the Word of God. And I want to start out this morning by saying that the Lord expects every saved husband, every saved husband, to lead selflessly. Y'all paying attention? Lead selflessly. Now look here at what the Bible says. In verse 23, this is Paul writing to the saints there in the church at Ephesus, and he's addressing husbands and wives. On down in chapter 6, he addresses children and moves on to talk about servants and masters and so forth. But right here in Ephesians 5:23, he's talking to saved husbands, men who already had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And he says here, the husband is the head of the wife. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 in verse 3, we're not going to take the time to go there, but if you'd like to write it down and look it up, 1 Corinthians 11:3, Paul says that the head of the woman is the man. That's what he says. The head of the woman is the man. Now, I want y'all to think about this for just a moment. What part of the body is it that leads and controls the rest of the body? I'm talking about a human body at this point. What part of the body is absolutely essential? I mean, you got to have one. You know, there are certain parts of your body, if it gets cut off or taken away, whatever the case might be, you can continue to move on and function, but there's one part of your body you got to have. It's this thing right here. You understand what I'm saying? You got to have a head. I don't know too many headless people, do y'all? Got to have a head, and it's the head that controls the rest of the body and how it functions. And that's why whenever things up here get off, and sometimes they do. Sometimes we get colds in our head. Sometimes we get vertigo, as Brother Ralph was talking about earlier, and I know some of you have had that in the past. You can get something wrong up here in the head, and it affects other parts of your body. You can get vertigo, for example, and any of you have ever had vertigo? Anybody? How many people in here have vertigo before? That's a horrible thing to have. It's terrible. When you get that, you're going to stagger and fall, maybe even get sick. It affects your body. It messes your equilibrium up something awful. Or you can have a stroke in your brain, and it can cause your arm or your hand to not function properly, or your leg or your feet. It can affect an entire side of a person's body whenever they have a stroke up here in the head. And there's a lot of other illustrations I could use, but the point is that the head is what controls the rest of our body. It's what allows and enables the rest of our body to function the way it's supposed to. So by virtue of the fact that the Bible says that the husband is the head of the wife and that the man is the head of the woman, that means that God expects every husband to be a leader. And listen, ladies, before you get too ruffled up here now, please understand that us men did not take this position upon ourselves. Y'all know what I mean? I'm not the one who wrote the book. I'm not the one who said the husband is the head of the wife. I didn't write that. No other man in here wrote it. So if you want to direct your animosity or any ill will or ill feelings toward your husband like he did something wrong, just remember that the problem's not with him. The problem is with you and your way of thinking about this situation, because us men are not the ones who made the rules. I'm not the one who said that the husband is the head of the wife. God said that. He's the one that wrote that down, and he's the one that said it. And that's the way it is. The husband is the head of the wife, and he is to be a leader. And I'm not talking about this kind of stuff today that you see these effeminate men It just makes me sick on my stomach talking about it. It really does. These effeminate men, you know, that you shake their hand and it's like shaking a sponge. You know what I'm talking about? And they act like they're scared of their wife or scared of their children. And they won't step up and they won't take the position that God holds them responsible for. They won't do it. They're just passive and just let the wife or the children control them, control the home. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about men being what God expects them to be. Being a leader in their home. Somebody that will step up and take charge in the home and be what God intends for them to be. We need more of that in the church today. We need more men. One thing I can remember from when I grew up as a kid, the church that I grew up in, Mobley Creek Baptist Church. Back when I was coming along, if it had not been for the women, there wouldn't even be a church down there right now. So thank God for the women that will come and be faithful. But man, where were the men? Where are the men in our churches today that will step up and take those positions of leadership that God intends for them to take? Where are the men in our homes today? I mean real men that will step up and be what God expects them to be. That's what God expects from every saved husband, to be a leader, to be a leader. But listen now, let me say this. And I want you guys to pay close attention to what I'm fixing to say. In the Bible, and the Bible is always the authority, but in the Bible and in church history that you read, and also just in history in general that you read, you find that the greatest leaders, the ones who were respected the most by their subordinates, the ones that got the most honor, the ones that were loved so dearly that people just sang their praises repeatedly and constantly, the ones that garnered so much desire to be like from their subordinates were the ones that led selflessly. Not the ones who were iron-fisted dictators, not the ones who flaunted their position and their authority and demanded that everybody wait on them hand and foot, just sitting around barking out orders, expecting everybody to do exactly what they wanted and to make sure they were taken care of above everybody else. Not those kind of leaders. And that's not the kind of leader that God expects a husband to be either. We've got that thing all messed up if we think that we've been given this position for our benefit. And that's what a lot of men think today. They think, well, I'm the husband, I'm the head of the wife, so it's all about me. You got that all wrong, friend. You are to lead selflessly, not selfishly. I think about stories I've read, and there are just thousands of them you read about military leaders. And I like reading things like that. It just inspires me when I read about somebody that's full of courage and bravery. But you know the military leaders that were loved the most by their subordinates, the people under them? I'm talking about love to the point almost of worship. They just thought the sun rose and set with these leaders. And they were willing to go wherever their leader told them they needed to go. I mean, they loved them. They respected them. They would follow them into the darkest, most hellish place in the whole world and at any moment be willing to fall on a grenade, step in front of their leader, die for that man. You know who those leaders were? Those that led selflessly. The ones that knew their leader cared about them. Many of these you read about, they would get right out there with their men. And they'd fight right alongside their men. And they were an example. They led by example. They didn't just stand back somewhere, you know, expecting their men to do what they were never willing to do themselves. Whenever their men saw that they were willing to step out there and get shot at or possibly get killed, it inspired them to follow their leader. And God expects the wives to follow their leader. Amen. I didn't hear one woman in the whole place say amen to that. Did you? Praise the Lord. Thank you. I appreciate that. Got one amen. I had a whole lot of you. That Bible says right there, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. That's what it said, but that was Mother's Day. What I'm trying to tell you guys is that if we want our wives to love us, to adore us, to think the sun rises and sets in us, to be willing to follow our leadership, we're going to have to be leaders that lead selflessly, not selfishly. God didn't give you this for you. He didn't give you this so you could sit back in your recliner, you know, with the remote, barking out orders to everybody in the house, demanding that your wife cook you everything all the time and bring you sweet tea every time you want something in a glass, or come in and roll you over and get the remote out from under you. That ain't what it's all about, friend. You got that all wrong, if that's your way of thinking. He put you in a position of leadership not for your betterment, but for the betterment of your wife and your children. Lead selflessly, not selfishly. Here's the second thing. I got to move on. Got 10 minutes left. Not only does God expect every saved husband to lead selflessly, but he expects every saved husband to love saviorly. And what I mean is he expects every saved husband to love like our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look right here, if you would, at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, not the way you think you ought to love them. How does he expect you to love your wife? Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also love the church. What is the standard for me as a husband? How am I supposed to love my wife? Like the world says for me to love my wife? Like I think I'm supposed to love my wife? I am to love my wife as Christ also loved the church. Jesus Christ is my standard. He's my example. He's the one that I'm to look to as an example of how I'm to love my wife. Men, are y'all paying attention? Ladies, I thought I'd get a lot of amens out of y'all today. Love your wives like Christ loved the church. How did Christ love the church? Well, look at what it says here. First of all, I see that this type of love is a love that transcends. And what I mean is it transcends, goes above and beyond just words. It's not just you telling your wife that you love her. I love you, honey. Hey, that's a good thing to say, though. Because I will say this. There are some men that are so pitiful. That's right. I said pitiful. And if you fit into this, then if it offends you, you can just be offended, brother. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't tell your wife you love her, you ain't worth the gunpowder it takes to blow you away. You understand that? You ought to tell your wife you love her every day. Every day you ought to tell her. But understand this. Just you saying, honey, I love you, ain't enough. Do not think for one second that you have fulfilled your husbandly responsibility if you told your wife today or yesterday or whenever, I love you. Now, she needs to hear that, but she needs a lot more than that. A lot more than that. Because if I'm going to love like Christ loved the church, look at what it says. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Jesus didn't just walk around saying, I love y'all, I love y'all, I love y'all. Now, he did tell them he loved them, but he did a lot more than that. Y'all seen the shirt? I think Brother Scott did some like that. I asked the Lord, how much do you love me? And he said, this much. And he stretched out his arms and died. How did Christ love the church? Just tell him he loved him. He gave himself. It's a sacrificial love. It's a giving love. And that's the kind of love that God expects from every saved person, every saved husband, a sacrificial love where you give for your wife, where you give, you sacrifice yourself, your time, your energy, your effort, your life if necessary. You sacrifice yourself for your wife. That's the way God expects me to be as a husband. That's why he expects every husband to be. But here's something else. Look at verse 26 and 27. It's a love that transforms. That he might sanctify and cleanse it, that is the church, with the washing of water by the word. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. It's a love that transforms. The Lord's working on the church. He's trying to iron out the wrinkles, you might say. Get rid of the spots so that he can present it to himself a glorious church. Y'all see that? A glorious church, not having any spot, not having any wrinkle or any such thing. He wants that thing to be clean and pure. And how does the Lord work on the church to bring about this transformation that he desires? Well, it says back up in verse 26 that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. What is the primary instrument that the Lord uses to clean up his bride, his church? The word of God. Isn't that what it says? It says, with the washing of water. Here, the scripture, the Bible, the word of God is likened unto water that the Lord uses to clean up his bride. It says to sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. He uses the word of God to clean us up. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto according to thy word, is what the scripture says. Jesus said, ye are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. The main instrument that he uses to transform our lives is the word of God. And what the Lord expects from us as husbands is to try to help our lives be transformed, our wives be transformed into the women that God wants them to be. Just like the Lord's working on the church, trying to get the church where he wants it to be. Our responsibility is to love our wives in such a fashion that we can help them become the women that God wants them to be. That's the kind of lady that I want to be married to. That's the kind of lady, by the way, that I believe I am married to. I just tell y'all God's truth. I don't want to be married to a worldly woman. I have no desire. I have no desire whatsoever to be married to somebody that's just a floozy and wants to live like the world wants to live. I want to be married to a woman whose number one desire is to be what God wants her to be. And I believe that's what I have in my wife. And I am to try my best to help her, to love her in such a fashion that she will be transformed more and more and more into the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Lord expects from me. How can I do that? Well, by the word. Now listen, what that doesn't mean, okay, what that doesn't mean is that I'm to walk around the house all the time thumping my Bible, and every time I see my wife get out of line, just lambast her for breaking one of the commandments, you know. That ain't what it's talking about. I don't walk around, you know, beating my Bible, thumping my chest, and, well, there you messed up, and this is what the Bible says. No. What it means, I tell you one thing it means is I need to be a man of the Bible myself. I need to be a man of the word myself. I need to get into the word of God and live according to the word of God in the presence of my wife and the presence of my family. If I expect them to want to conform to the Bible, they need to see me living out the Bible in my life. And not only that, but it means that in our home, I should read the Bible with my family, do whatever I can to honor the word of God in our home. That's what it means to be a man of the scripture and to make sure that my wife has ample opportunity and time that she can spend in the word herself. Every lady in here needs to have that time where she gets along with God. Amen. Every woman needs that. The only way you're going to become that woman God wants you to be, or I'm going to be the man God wants me to be, is to get in that word. I need to make sure. With all the responsibilities, and my wife has a lot, just like your wives have a lot of responsibilities. We need to make sure that if we have to sacrifice, this is part of loving as Christ loved the church, if I have to sacrifice some time that I'd rather be doing something else so my wife can have her time with God every day, I need to be willing to do that so she can stay in the Word. It's a love that transforms. Here's one other thing about loving saviorly. Not only does it transcend and transform, but it takes care. Verse 28 says, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. Why? Well, verse 29, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh. If I love my wife as I love my body, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take care of her. I'm going to take care of her. I'm going to provide as much as I possibly can the things that she needs. And that's not just material things, it's spiritual things, it's all that stuff. The Bible says that if a man provide not for his own, he's denied the faith and worse than an infidel. So I'm to try to take care of my wife. And if I love her like I do my own body, then I'm going to take care of her. He says there, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh. Now you got people that get under the influence of alcohol and drugs and demonic forces and they'll mutilate yourself and all that. But I'm talking about, and Paul's talking about people that are in their right mind. You know what I mean? Brother Whalen cut his finger the other day. You doing better, brother? Good. I guarantee you he didn't do that on purpose. He didn't say, you know, I'm going to go out there today and saw my finger half off. Because I just love to go to the ER. I just love that. You know what I'm saying? People in their right mind are not going to hurt their body. They're going to take care of their body. That's why we take medicine, why we go to doctors, that's why we try to avoid certain things that we're told we don't need to eat or don't need to drink and all that. We're trying to nourish and cherish, take care of our body. Paul says, that's the way I need to be with my wife. Nourish and cherish. That's the way the Lord is with the church. Look at what he says, verse 29. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it. Look, even as the Lord, the church. You know who takes care of us? Who nourishes and cherishes us and provides what we need? It's the Lord that does that for us. He's taking care of his body. Isn't that what the scripture calls the church? The body of Christ. When he nourishes and cherishes, he's taking care of his body. That's why Paul says, you husbands, love your wives as you do your own bodies. Because when you do that, you're going to nourish and cherish your wife. You're going to take care of her, which is what God expects from you. And let me say this, guys. Taking care of your wife is more than you just going out and making a living. I get so tired of these men that are so stubborn, and it just aggravates me to no end. They think that because they go out and they're the breadwinner and bring home the bacon and all that other stuff they like to say and make the money, that they can just do that and it matters not how they treat their wife otherwise. I don't ever have to spend any time. They act like making the money gives them an out to where they don't ever have to spend any time with their wife or their children. Do I have to do anything else for them? No, you making the money or whatever you want to say is just part of your responsibility when it comes to taking care of your wife. Your wife has a whole lot more needs, things that she needs that cannot be supplied with money. You hear me? There's some things your wife needs that it doesn't matter how much money you make, it's not going to supply that need. The money's just part of it. Take care. Love savorily. Let me move on. I got two more and it's 12 o'clock. We didn't get started 5 minutes after 11, so I got till 5 minutes after 12. Number three, lead selflessly, love saviorly. Number three, leave scripturally. Leave scripturally. Why do I say this? Well, look at verse 31. Paul says here, talking to husbands and wives, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. You know what he did right there? He gave scripture. What he did there was quote scripture. Y'all know where that's found? That's found back in the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 24 is where that's found. So Paul reaches all the way back to the first marriage. Who was the first two people to get married? It was Adam and Eve. It wasn't Adam and Steve. It was Adam and Eve. You know what I mean? He reaches all the way back to that first marriage, and he uses that very first marriage, Adam and Eve, to teach these people in the church at Ephesus what is expected of them, the husbands primarily. And if you go back and read Genesis 2:24, you find basically the same thing you do right here in verse 31 when he quotes it to him. But it's leave and cleave. Leave his father and mother, cleave unto his wife, and the two shall be joined, and they shall be one flesh. He reaches back to that scripture and shows that they're to leave and cleave. Leave scripturally. That's what the husband is supposed to do. Now, this does not mean that when a man gets married, that he not to have anything else to do with his parents. doesn't mean that he doesn't need to care for his parents and love his parents, try to help his parents where he's able, because he should. I tell you what it does mean. Leave means leave. It means that he needs to be a man and get out and establish his own home and his own life with his wife. That's what it means. Leave and cleave. Not always running back home and expecting mommy and daddy to support the marriage. Amen. It means that he's to learn to stand on his own two feet and have his relationship with his wife, and if they have children, with his children, but to leave and make his wife and his family the priority under God. And I said under God. I believe this with all of my heart. I believe when a man gets married, his wife is to be more important to him than even his parents are. Even his parents. Now again, that doesn't mean that he doesn't love his parents or that he doesn't try to help them, but that relationship between husband and wife is so strong in the eyes of God that that wife is to be next in line under God to that man. Leave and cleave. Ladies, I don't know, I'm looking around, we've still got a few young ladies in here. Those of you that plan to get married someday, you do not want to marry a man who cannot stand on his own two feet, who's all the time leaning on mama and daddy to do everything for him and make his decisions. You know, if he can't decide if he ought to wear blue or brown socks, he has to call mama, you know. No, you don't want that kind of man, I promise you. No matter how attractive he is. And this is where we get so messed up today. I've seen it time and time again where people marry just because they are physically attracted to a person. You know what that is? If you marry somebody just because you're attracted to their physical appearance, male or female, you know what? That's a recipe for disaster and divorce is all that is. Because here's the thing. You may marry somebody who is absolutely beautiful or very, very handsome. But everybody in here knows that once you get married, after a period of time, their beauty, you begin to not notice that as much. It isn't that they're less beautiful or less handsome necessarily. It's just familiarity. And you get to where maybe they're not as beautiful to you as they were at one time before you got married. Think about it today, how you see these men, for example, that will marry a movie star or some lady, and she's a beautiful, gorgeous woman. And then inside of a year, you hear about him stepping out on that woman. Just marrying for the physical part is the wrong thing. That's the wrong thing. And let's just take that a little further. You marry them because they're beautiful or physically attractive. How many of you will admit this morning that ain't going to last forever? You looked at yourself in the mirror this morning, didn't you? Hate to break it to you. You ain't near as pretty as you was when you was a teenager. You know what I mean? Things happen as you grow older. Some of you ladies in here right now have no earthly idea what your true hair color is. No idea. Some of you men, bless your heart, ain't got no hair to color. You don't marry for that. That's the wrong reason. And I can tell you, ladies, if it doesn't matter how beautiful they are, you want a man who's a real man that can stand on his own two feet and is committed to you and will take care of you and your family. And here's the last thing. Lead selflessly, lead saviorly, lead scripturally. Last of all, God expects every man to live spiritually. Live spiritually. To be a man of God. To be a godly man. A man that loves God above everybody and everything. A man that puts the Lord first. A man of prayer. A man that honors the scripture, a man that serves others, a man that's a soul winner, a man that prays with his family, a man that protects his family, and a man that will be faithful to the commitment that you have made. Live spiritually. These are things that God expects from every saved husband. Maybe you're doing fine in all of these. But if you like me, you could probably do a little better. Men, why don't we pray? Why don't we pray this morning that the Lord would help us to be more of the kind of husbands that he wants us to be. Instead of sitting around bellyaching all the time about problems that we have, why don't we get on the offensive, make some changes in our own lives that would better our home and our family. It's easy to sit around pointing fingers, blaming somebody else. What's hard is owning up and taking responsibility and saying, you know, maybe the reason things are not the way they should be around here is because of me. Some of that's on me. And being willing to do what you know God wants you to do. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we thank you again for this day. Thank you for letting us be here. And I pray you would help me, Lord, please, and help every husband here, those that will one day become husbands. Help us to want to be what you expect us to be. Lord, give us grace and help. Help us to apply this to our lives, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
366 as we stand together, please.
Any decision.